Welcome to Nothing But Fantasy. My name is Phil Nasons. She's Andrea Lamont, and we are here to talk fantasy baseball with you. What's happening, dude?
What's happening, dude? Not much here. Just, you know, same old stuff.
Same old stuff here, too. Fantasy baseball. You know what I did this week? I'm my lineup, and I'm winning my league this week. Or my matchup. I benched Bryce Harper.
Oh, my gosh.
For Bellinger.
Well, that, oh, God. You and your Bellinger, okay?
Doesn't matter. I'm trying to win. And the thing is, here's why. This is not, let me explain to you what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a weather guy, as you know, because you post my column up there at Lenny Melny Fantasy Sports.
Yep.
And I look ahead for the whole forecast for the next 7 days. And there was a lot of rain in that Washington area. So I decided to go ahead and bench him. I ended up putting Cody Bellinger in there in the outfield. And I took a gamble. I'm still winning, thankfully. But I decided to put Gerardo Parra in my lineup because there were 7 games this week in Colorado.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out so good. But that's what I did. I looked ahead for the whole week at the weather. And Bryce Harper is really would have been my third outfielder in terms of points scored because Parra sucked this week.
Yeah, I mean, so the point here is that you should look at the weather. I got screwed last night by not looking at the weather. I had Tanner Roark and Matt Wieters in my DFS lineup, which was just stupid because, you know, well, I had to go run some errands, so I usually do check before the game start. But once the game is postponed, you can't change your lineup, and that really stinks. So, yeah, Washington didn't – I mean, it was a good idea to look at the weather, but I can't say that I agree too much about benching Harper for Parra just because of those 2 games or whatever, or maybe 3 or 4 even. That's just my opinion, but I definitely think you're on the right track there with looking at the weather for sure.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned this Tanner Roark game because I talked to Lenny Melnick yesterday, and he called me around 2 o'clock and he was telling me his tout war lineup.
Yeah,
and I said, don't play that Washington game because they're going to cancel it.
Do you think he told me? No. Do you think he said to me?
He's competing against you. Why would he tell you? That's up to you to find out. But here's the thing. And he asked me why. I said, because they like to cancel games early. They don't wait for anything. They did it 2 nights ago. They did it again last night. They don't wait around for that weather to change. So if you're playing DFS or any type of fantasy sport that is dependent on the weather in Washington, you better be available to make changes, say, from 2:30, I would say, till 5:30, because that's when they will make those calls.
Yeah, who were they supposed to play yesterday?
They were supposed to play the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday.
Right, yeah, so, I mean, it was kind of hard to pass up.
Course it was. You know what? What I do, because I play DFS every day, what I do is I look at the weather. And if I see a 50% chance of rain or better, I don't play anyone from that game, and I just cross them off my list so I don't have to worry about them so much, especially on a 15-game slate like last night.
Yeah.
But those are things you learn. You know, but I'm a prisoner to it. That's the difference. You know, you have other things you have to do. That's what I have to do is sit and watch the weather.
Right. Well, you know, I lost that league, but I had 2 other lineups in. My Tout Wars lineup didn't have any Washington players, so that was good. I haven't even checked my DraftKings. I'm probably out of money again. I was out of money yesterday. I had to put $20 more in. That was from like 4 days ahead. Before that, I was up to $80.
Yeah, sure.
I thought I'd enter a couple of $10 leagues instead of $5 leagues. And, you know, I'm always trying to win the lottery with like a huge tournament, but
right.
You know, I don't.
Oh, you
play,
mean
like,
you played a GPP for $10.
Yeah, I played GPP for $10. I want to try to win like, you know, the pie in the sky, but I don't usually play $10. I usually only play like the tournaments that cost like $5. You know,
right.
And I always try to find the 20 entry max ones or like the 5 entry max because for some reason I'm not a big fan of that, you know, people putting in a whole bunch of 100 lineups.
Right.
100 of the same lineup.
I don't do that at all. I only play single entry tournaments. I don't play any of that multiple entry stuff because you just get buried. Guys can run 150 roster train, you're playing with guys with unlimited bankrolls. And when that happens, you get hammered.
Dude, I was checking out like the most the players, because you can see who's in these tournaments. I was looking at the most expensive tournaments and looking at the player. Like, you know, there's a couple of players that are in every like huge costing tournament. Like, I mean, these are like $5,000 a piece to get into.
Oh,
you know?
Sure. Sahil Sood.
I see him, and then there was a couple that I saw over and over and over, and I'm thinking,
CSU,
oh my god,
CSU Ram.
I don't even remember the name.
That's Peter Jennings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'll see him a lot. I played against him a couple times in basketball. You know, by the way, do you remember I told you I was beating up that guy, Faith by Grace or something?
Chipotle Addict is one that I see.
There's another one. You know, he has a brother that plays too. Yeah, Chipotle Addict. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, he has a brother. I can't remember his brother's handle, but they...
Is it Dandy Don?
No, it's a different one, but those guys enter those tournaments, 150 entry tournaments, they both enter. There's a lot of things that people say about them, like they're colluding. So they actually have 300.
Mr. Tuttle, that's another one, Mr. Tuttle.
Yeah, you see a lot of those guys. Yeah, you will see them. See me in those tournaments.
Well, that's crazy. I mean, I'm sure they make money because...
Well, of course they do. You know, first of all, you know what's interesting is that the score that it takes to win those tournaments is a lot lower usually than the one it takes to win the dollar tournament, for example.
I believe that completely, you know. But these are $10,000 a piece to get in these leagues, okay?
Yeah, well, they have it because those guys are playing 20 and 30,000 bucks a shot every day. You're talking, you know, DFS has created a lot of paper millionaires.
Yeah, I believe that. I definitely know that people make good money on it. I mean, money. But, you know, I mean, you win big, you play big to win big, and that's how it works. There is definitely some luck involved, but I also think that there's a good chunk of, knowledge involved here, too. So,
I think, yeah, they know how to use algorithms, and they know how to use computer spreadsheets. If you ask them who these players are, they don't even know.
Yeah, they're not baseball fans. They're poker players. They're
Yeah, or any sport. Yeah, sure.
They're like market guys, stock market guys.
You know the
guy.
Anyway, the reason I was asking you, the reason I brought this up, this Fall by Grace, the guy I was burying every night in basketball.
Yeah.
He's the number four player in the world at DFS. No idea.
Oh, lovely.
And I was burying him every day. But that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Good job.
It was interesting. But here's the thing. What is he doing playing in a dollar-off tournaments? Peter Jennings does this, too. A lot of these guys do that.
Peter Jennings' name in that?
I think it's C-S-U-R-A-M.
Okay. That's interesting.
So they're out there. Sharks out there. But who's hot?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about
Aaron Altair is on a tear, except he didn't play last night. But in his last seven games, .423 batting average, 5 bombs, 12 RBIs, and 1 stolen base. He's pretty much done all of his season highs in 1 week.
Yeah, he's out of control this week. He actually he hit a home run in a game that he didn't even start in this past week. So, I mean... Aaron Altair, he's a decent player. Last year his average was so much worse than it is this year. So I would hate. I mean, I don't know his batting average on balls in play, but that's something that I would definitely look at. It's .413. I mean, it's just unsustainable.
Well, it is. But so what? You know what? A lot of people are going after him, like it's not even funny. I would think that he's probably 100% owned at ESPN too. I would think, he's 51.4% owned at ESPN leagues. That's crazy. I wouldn't have even thought about drafting him, would you have?
Yeah, because Lenny was talking about him last year, you know. He was like the favorite to play, to have an everyday job in right field last year. But he hurt himself. And then, I mean, I actually think that I owned him on a team or two, and I know for sure that Lenny owned him on a team or two. These are deep leagues, though, you know, that you take advantage of. So, like, he goes through streaks where he's really good, and then he just stinks. Like, he had a small window last year when he came back from his injury where he was out of control. Like, he had 4 home runs, 5 stolen bases in like 25 games, and he was just pretty much, you know, ownable. And then after that, he hit 146 for the rest of the season. So definitely owned, and, you know, one of these players that we're going to talk about buying and selling in this show, and I think that he kind of fits in that tier. I mean, I would get rid of him. I'm all about buying. I'm all about selling high, you know, but
yes.
it's much harder said than done. It's much easier said than done. But, yeah, so he's doing great right now. If you need a tool on your team, and you could throw him in a trade, and because I don't see this happening on a continuous basis. And like I said, his batting average on balls in play is the first thing you look at when you see a player going through streaks like this. It's 413, so yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're playing DFS,
yeah,
you ride that hot streak, and he's probably pretty cheap too. I don't, as a rule, play Phillies guys unless they're in a really good matchup.
I have a who's hot.
Who?
Well, Eric Hosmer is probably owned, but maybe not, because people were getting really sick and tired of the Kansas City Royals, and he was hitting so bad, but he's hitting 403 with a 581 slugging percentage and 6 extra base hits and 10 RBIs in his past 16 games. So he's raised his batting average 97 points over that time, like 192 to 289. Yesterday, he entered the game batting 397 with a 438 on base percentage in his last 15 games. So the last 2 weeks, Eric Hosmer turning it on. I mean, I don't know if we talked about Eric Hosmer before, but I've been telling everybody you got to hold on to him because his work ethic is great. He's a good player, and he's just, you know, started the season crappy. But Eric Hosmer, don't
we
sell.
We did talk about him last week. I told you that I dropped him, but I had made a mistake. I didn't drop him.
Oh,
so
good.
I inserted him in my lineup because I have 3 first basemen. I don't remember what I did. See, that's the difference between my mindset and others. I play more daily, and I only play in that one fantasy league, that 10-team league that's not really a league. And I have a great time with it, and I'm going to win my matchup against my co-host from another show I do, so that's all I care really about. But as far as Hosmer's concerned, his BABIP is pretty interesting. It is currently at 324. And you know, that's low for him, actually.
Oh, really?
I would think so. He's 2 seasons ago, he had a 336. He finished the season. Last year, he finished the season at 301. It was a down year for him. He's playing a little better. But here's the thing that is interesting to me is his weighted runs created plus are 3 runs higher than it was last year. But it's 19 runs lower than it was 2 seasons ago when he had that big year and they won the World Series.
I mean, yeah, some of his numbers are quite confusing because last year he struck out almost 20% of the time, and this year he's only striking out 15% of the time. So that, you know, that doesn't really coincide with what he's done so far. I mean, because you would think that since he's striking out less, he would actually have better numbers, but he's not. He is a good player regardless. His 327 batting average on balls in play doesn't scare me at all. I mean, it's normally over 300, so, you know, you look at his past 4 or 5 seasons, and he's consistent in all areas, and I just think that he'll pull it together, no doubt.
But his ISO is way down from the last 2 seasons. You know, 2 seasons ago, though, he did have a strikeout rate of 16.2%.
Yeah.
So I think he's right in line with what he's doing. I think he just was off to an early slump, and now he's out of it, and I think he'll be okay. I like Eric Hosmer. I have a hot player, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Cody Bellinger. Y'all poo-pooed me him up last week.
Here we go. No, see, 2 weeks ago we poo-pooed you. Last week we talked about it, and we talked about the fact that he's keeping his job. So he has had the opportunity to do what he's doing only because Adrian Gonzalez is out right now. And yes,
Andrew Toles is out now, too, so guess what?
I know, and that's fine. I mean, how are you going to send a guy down now that's doing this? Even if they both came back healthy, they're going to find a spot for Cody Bellinger. But let me say one thing about Cody Bellinger and your little love of your life over here, your man crush.
Yeah, well, he's helping me win money. I can't knock that.
I mean, he's hit 5 home runs in the last week, and yes, he's good for DFS, no question. I mean, you're a DFS guy. He's also good for fantasy owners in season long. But
I picked him up for that, too.
Let me make a prediction here.
Okay.
He is not going to be able to sustain this, no question. He's struck out 10 times in the last 29 at-bats. And this is because regardless of his home runs that nobody sees past, he is striking out a ton because pitchers are figuring him out, and we all know the second two or three times, you know, around when pitchers see you and catchers figure you out, pitchers are not going to continue to throw to him after they figure him out, and they're already starting to figure him out, and it's shown by his 10 strikeouts in the last 29 at-bats. So I just think that as we go forward, we're going to see him striking out a ton. It's going to be frustrating for him. We don't even know how he deals with any kind of slump. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him get sent back down. My advice, sell. Sell like a crazy person.
Well, that could happen. I might do that. Or that's why I used to have a waiver wire. But for right now, he's doing great. And I think he's going to continue it until he sees it around the second time. And then we'll see. He does strike out a lot. But here's the thing, though. Andy, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If I can get 5 home runs and 13 RBIs and 1 stolen base and a .345 batting average in a weekly matchup, then I think I'm pretty happy. And if he doesn't sustain that, I can't expect any more. He's a rookie, for goodness sakes.
Fine. I mean, that's fine. Absolutely. He's helping you right now, and you continue to keep putting him in. But if you wait until he starts doing bad, you're not going to be able to get anything for him. And right now, you're going to be selling him at his highest value. There's no way that he keeps it up. So that's just my opinion, and I absolutely keep throwing him in there in DFS. Are you kidding me? He's on fire.
Yeah, but he's starting to get expensive now, I think. But
his price is catching up with him.
Yeah, but that's okay, because here's the thing. When it goes down again, then start playing him again, because then he'll probably hit another home run or two. But
okay.
Go ahead. You got somebody?
I got a player. So I'm so lucky that this player was doing so crappy going into this week, because my competition, my competition this week in Tout Wars is Jake Seeley, and he benched this player, and I'm so thankful that he did, because Jose Bautista, okay, had 1 home run and 7 RBIs in 25 games in April, and now he has 3 home runs and 7 RBIs in 11 games in May, and he's on the bench of Jake Seeley. Thank God. He's hit 2 home runs in the past couple days, so he's still 7 for his last 41, but he's hitting bombs. So Jose Bautista might be looking up. Maybe he finally got past his emotional wreckage from Toronto, what they did to him. You know.
But he's still in Toronto, isn't he?
Yeah, but they made him a qualifying offer. He didn't take it. Like, I mean, because he thought he could get more, and then he ended up taking less. Or, I mean, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays weren't going to give him the qualifying offer anymore, and you know, so he settled for less. But it was the whole point that they obviously didn't really want me that bad, because they didn't even offer me any more than the qualifying offer, which is what every decent player gets in baseball. So
bad luck for him, good luck for you.
Totally.
I don't think you know what, I would have benched him too. I probably would have dropped him or tried to trade him. I don't know what to do with him. He's not going to sustain this. How old is he? He's 38 years old, isn't he?
No. He's old, though. I mean, he's not 38.
36, but whatever. But the thing is, that's not a really good team either. He's starting to hit, though.
He did drop so much in the average draft position, so I don't think that people paid, you know, what we're used to seeing people pay for Jose Bautista, but he still, you know, costs something. So I don't think I don't think people are dropping him. I think they're trying to bench him if they can. I haven't seen anybody dropping Jose Bautista. You kind of can't because of his name. But, okay, you got one?
I would have dropped him a long time ago, but then that's me. You know what I actually do? Jason Worth from the Washington Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past 7 days, his batting average is .429, 3 bombs, 4 RBIs, 1 stolen base. He's doing pretty good. He doubled his production for the year. That's nice. Now he's got 6 home runs, 11 RBIs, and 3 stolen bases, and he's batting almost .300. That's not too bad for Jason Worth.
I'm
pretty thrilled for him.
Yeah. I mean, everybody thought that the contract was just horrible when they offered him a multiple year contract for a good chunk of money. He's 37, so what can you know? You don't expect a lot. In fact, he probably wasn't even drafted in a lot of teams or a lot of leagues. He's got a .299 batting average on the season. Last year he hit 20 home runs, so it's not that much of a surprise to see him hitting. I'm so surprised that he didn't get drafted in a lot of leagues, and he's showing why right now. Still, he's going to go through slumps, but they don't really have anybody to replace him anyway, because, you know, their fourth outfielder is Michael Taylor, and he's playing center field right now because Adam Eaton is out for the season. So actually, they just promoted Brian Goodwin from the minors. He's now their fourth outfielder because Michael Taylor is their center fielder. So they're already preparing for Michael Taylor to get replaced. And Jason Worth's job is solid. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's my point here. And I think that he's definitely worth owning. If he's not owned in your league, you should get him. He's going to go through some slumps, but come on. He's ownable.
Absolutely he is. And you should. Go for it. Jason Worth is good for DFS because he's always like 3,000, 3,100.
Yeah.
Perfect. Especially against lefties.
Totally.
He really likes to mash. And you can mash him with another guy that's really hot, too. See, it's not fair that the Washington Nationals have so many of them, but Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, he's
probably
old.
Has been quite hot, too. Yeah, he is. But you know something? This is a guy you can sell high. He won't sustain this. But
I don't know.
He's hit two bombs and eight ribbies and one stolen base. Those stolen bases matter.
Absolutely they matter. And, you know, Rendon is a good player. He's had a couple seasons where he's been injured here and injured there, but he is a good player.
Plus, he got his feelings hurt.
When?
Well, you know, they were talking about benching him or something or trading him. And he went through that last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was. He wasn't very happy. I think that was when Ian Desmond was there. They didn't know who they wanted to keep. I think it was a public thing.
Yeah.
That can hurt their feelings. You know, these guys have delicate, fragile egos.
Well, you know, most of them can't even figure out what to do if they don't have the same spot in the lineup every damn day. And that's just ridiculous to me. But here's a player. Not to just move on from Rendon, because he's
a good
player.
Well, you can move on from Rendon because he plays for the Washington Nationals.
Okay.
So move on. Go ahead.
How about TJ Rivera for the Mets, right? So he's yesterday Lucas Dudok came back. He was activated from the DL, first baseman. And TJ Rivera has been playing first base for the Mets during the time that Duda was hurt. But they activated him yesterday, and they kept Rivera in the lineup because Rivera is hitting like crazy. 302. He's hitting 302 with a 389 on base percentage. And the thing is, he plays first, second, and third base. So he can relieve Jose Reyes. He can play second. He can play first. And I think that's what the Mets are going to continue to do with him as a super utility player. Because he's 28, so don't think he's some young rookie, okay? But he does have, in the last 2 weeks, he's got a home run, eight ribbies, 10 runs, and he's batting 346 over the past couple weeks. So he's doing well, but mind you, don't pick him up in any league that it's only for weekly because he can't hit lefties worth a crap. So he's not going to play in any – he's probably not going to play in games where they face a lefty, but his batting average is .091 against lefties. So he hits great against righties, and he's one of those players just like that you love. You know, he'd be great for DFS because he's probably like in the 2000s.
Yeah, he's pretty cheap, but at ESPN, he's only second and first base eligible, so keep that in mind. He's also 5.2% owned. You're essentially dealing with a platoon player.
Well, he's played third base five times, so it depends on what your league settings are. Some leagues, after the fifth game at a position, you know, that's usually...
Right.
Isn't that usually the case, or is it 10?
I don't know what it is there, but it's 5 or 10. Some are 20. It just depends. But he's 5.2% owned. He's only good for against righties. And maybe not even great against the great righties. You never know. So if you're weekly league, don't pick him up. If you're allowed to play daily, pick him up. DFS, he's the only one in the lineup that's hitting. So that's where we stand with TJ.
What about now, I have one more.
Ahead.
Do you have one more?
I can come up with all kinds of things. What do you got?
I got Joe Biannini. Biagini. Joe
Who's
Biagini.
He?
He's a Toronto Blue Jays pitcher, and he... Last night, he threw five shutout innings. He came up last
week. That's a big thing when a Toronto Blue Jays pitcher can go five innings.
Yeah, I mean, last year he came up and he pitched 67.7 innings in the major leagues. It was his first major league. He never even played in AAA. So,
He's a right-hander, right?
He is a righty.
Yes. He had a good sinker, I think, right?
I'm not really sure about a sinker. What I know is that he was a Rule 5 draft pick at one point, but he's very good at keeping the ball in the park. And he was a rookie last year. He was in the bullpen, but he was really good in the bullpen. He had a 3.306 ERA and a 1.3 WHIP last year with eight holds, two blown saves, and a save. So that was from the bullpen. But since he's been in the majors, this was his second outing yesterday. He started two games so far, pitched He started two games. He's been in the bullpen and made 16 appearances, but in two games started, he's pitched 9 innings. He had an ERA of 2.78 after his first outing, and then 2.28 now after his second outing. So he went 5 innings, and he's a good Devin Travis, the second baseman for Toronto, said that every time a runner gets to second base, he asks them, "What do you think about this guy, Biagini?" Or I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. That's how much.
You are Biagini, yes, of course.
Okay, so he says, "What do you think of this Biagini?" And all the batters that get to second base, they all say the same thing: "He's something. He's really something." So.
Well, he's throwing his changeup a lot. That's why.
Well, whatever it is, he's getting the job done. And if you need a pitcher, I guarantee he's probably like 1% owned. And I just go ahead.
He's throwing his changeup like 7% more than he did last season, and he's throwing his curveball a little bit less, and he's throwing his fastball a lot less than he did last year. So he's throwing the change. It's like 7 miles an hour slower, and he's pretty deceptive with it. That's what I heard the other day. So Biagini.
He very rarely walks anybody. I mean, his walk percentage per 9 innings is .98, so he doesn't even walk a batter in 9 innings. So that's probably going to come up. But regardless, batters don't know him yet, and he's fooling them. Obviously, you said he's throwing a couple different pitches and instead of just using his fastball, but his fastball is 95 miles an hour. And for now, I mean, and if you're in a deep league, he's worth a pickup, and he might even be worth a play in DFS if they're playing somebody crappy like, you know.
Like who?
I don't know. A Kansas City.
In the American League East, those guys are masters against right-handers. I'm afraid of that. I would take the – like if he was playing the Yankees, I would pass.
Well, yeah, I mean, if he's playing at – I'm not talking about playing at Yankee Stadium. I would pass on a lot of pitchers playing at Yankee Stadium. Well,
I pass on the right-handers in general when they go up against these East teams. Some of them are pretty good. I usually leave those guys alone, but that's not a bad idea against some of them. Like, for example, Tampa Bay, I don't think that they hit righties as well as they hit lefties.
Tampa Bay sucks.
Yeah, but Evan Longoria can still crack a lefty, so that's a pretty good thing. They do have Brad Miller over there, but that's a different issue. But yeah, Biagini, I can't even find him on the ESPN list, dude.
Yeah, dude.
For as far as how much he's owned?
Yeah.
I can't find him. He's not even, you know, the added drop thing I use every week?
Yeah, yeah.
He ain't even in there.
Well, he's not there yet, but he will be next week probably because last night was his second start. And the Toronto starting rotation is so depleted. I mean, literally, he's their number three right now because they got Aaron Sanchez, J.A. Happ, Liriano is hurt. So he's listed as their number three starter, and that's pretty funny. I mean, it's not funny, but it's pretty interesting because he's not going anywhere with that kind of rotation going on.
None of those starters are going anywhere, but he's – currently owned in 5.1% of ESPN leagues.
Well.
And he's dual eligible. He's right relief and starter. So you could probably pick him up, stick him in your relief spot, and just whatever.
Get K's and wins. So, yeah, totally.
Well, there's nothing wrong with those things, by the way. K's nothing. And wins. Trading season.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
It's here.
Yeah.
It isn't it? It's here. Any horror stories so far?
Yeah, dude. I got a horror story. How about this one? Cole Hamels went on the DL, right? For 3 months.
So.
He will be out for 3 months. So the day after, or maybe the same day, I think this guy was hoping that nobody noticed, but he offers Cole Hamels for Ender Inciarte and Michael Pineda. Top that one.
Okay, now, so Cole Hamels.
Yeah, he wants to give me Hamels, and he wants me to give him Inciarte and Michael Pineda. How about that?
Why would you do that?
Well, that's what we're talking about, right? Some of the crappy trade offers that we've been
getting. Well, that's what I mean. But that's the whole point is, why would you do that? Why? This is what I hate about daily or seasonal leagues, is the dumbest trades in the world happen and the dumbest offers. I don't even look at them a lot of times. I should probably, but I use the waiver wire. I prefer that anyway. Because you know what? You know what I get so tired of? Back when I first started playing fantasy sports, you just called your buddy on the phone and you made the deal. And you talked it over and you done it, just like they do in the big leagues. Now you're in chat boxes and text messages and all this other foolishness, and it takes forever.
Now, let me say one thing. You know, depending on the type of league that you're in, too, I mean, this particular league is a 15-team mixed league. It was started by Tony Sincotta, and it's all industry people. I mean, all of it. It's mostly all industry people. There's a couple who aren't in the industry, but they're listeners and fans of FNTSY. So we're talking
now. Who sent it? You don't have to say who it was, But was this person that sent you that trade offer in the industry?
No.
Oh, maybe they don't know who you are. Maybe they thought they could pull a fast one because you're a girl.
Well, maybe, but that's just ignorant because we had a live draft and everybody met each other and everybody got to get to know each other. And I sat like a couple chairs away from him. And I mean, it's just like, you know that, I mean, people were standing in line to get into this league. It's not just a league that, you know, you just get invited to. It's $200 a person to get in the league. And so
Right.
people that are playing in this league know what they're doing. You don't, and maybe it has to do with the fact that I'm a girl, but I actually got a message on Facebook today from another person in the league who said, "People in the industry must just think I'm stupid because I got a trade offer. They want to give me Jared Dyson and Jorge Soler for Marcell Ozuna and Eduardo Nunez." And he goes,
Oh, yeah.
"I mean, and it's like, no, it's not just you. I don't know if it's just me and you because I'm a chick and maybe they don't know who you are, but you know, I don't think it's just you. I think that people are just so ignorant when it comes to trading that it's unbelievable. Like, you gotta look at the other person's roster for not for just what you want, but for what they might need. You can't offer somebody an outfielder when they have three outfielders on the bench and a full set of outfielders active. You know, you got to pay attention to what people need, or you're just asking to get ignored or treated like shit.
That's too bad. You know what? I think there is a sense of arrogance there in the industry. I'm in the industry and I'm better than you. I've had guys who just are newcomers in the industry talk to me like I was a newcomer.
They all do. They all get real high on themselves and they'll,
You
you
know
know.
what though? But if they had any idea, I've had DFS people say, call me up and coming guy, give him a chance or something. And I've got 8,000 more Twitter followers than they do. And I got my own thing. I was doing touts for DFS back in the Draft Street
I
days.
should call you JK with your 8,000 followers.
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That person probably knows more about baseball than I do.
I don't. What?
I don't know anything about it, but I
But
don't
you know
pretend to
about
either.
Twitter, though. That's what counts.
Well, here's the thing, though. But the point is that I've been around.
I've been
I just
around.
don't go to the DFS things, and I don't go to the industry things, and I don't go hobnobbing or rub noses with people. The only fantasy people that I've met personally was Lenny.
So what, tell
But
me.
I think, but the thing is what I'm trying to say is the whole point is there is a certain sense of arrogance. So your friend who wrote to you in chat or in your chat box is probably right. The secret is to turn the tables on them. Tell them to go kick rocks. I'm not that smart. I'm not that stupid. And ask for the moon and see what they say.
So anyway, when this guy offered me the crappiest trade in town, he offered me like Jackie Bradley Jr. was on the he was on the DL, so at the time, and he offered it definitely offered me Jackie Bradley and somebody else. Anyway, his thing didn't even make sense, and I was like, I sent on the message board in CBS, I put on the message board, I thought everybody in this league knew, you know, and then I put up the PSA public service announcement that was created. It's a little short video about don't be a dick, and it was created by FNTSY, one of the girls that hosts the shows. They and all these a lot of these guys are from FNTSY, so it was really just perfect. I posted it on the message board, and then he offered me after that, dude. He offered me a trade that I actually took. Okay, it was Jose Quintana and shoot, who was the other one? It was Jose Quintana and one other guy for Odubel Herrera.
But the
And
point is don't be a dick. You know, don't try to
oh,
fleece people with your
I
trades.
got Enciarte and Quintana for Odubel Herrera, dude. And then it was like, geez, you didn't have to like now offer me your whole team for one dude, you know? Because that's give. Don't you think that's that's a lopsided trade too? But I totally approved it, and it went through and everything, and now I'm beating him.
Right, I hear you.
So.
I
Okay.
can't believe I got compared to JK.
Yeah, oh, you are JK Jr.
No, not even
Well,
close.
you
I
got
earned my
8,000
Twitter
followers,
followers.
so.
Yeah, but I've been around a long time. My show is on Armed Forces Radio. I should have that many. I don't ever go on Twitter. But here's the thing, though.
What inner.
Don't be a dick when you're making trades.
Yeah, that's the point of this
Don't be a
segment.
dick. That's it. Don't be a dick. Steven Vogt,
Yeah.
fish or cut bait.
That's hard, but he's been so bad, dude, okay? And not only that,
Last night he sucked too and killed me.
here's what I have the problem with Steve Voigt. The problem is that Josh Fegley, he's coming back. And regardless of whether or not he's a great hitter for fantasy, he's still going to get some time behind the plate. They also right. have another catcher, Maxwell, Bruce Maxwell.
Right.
They're both left-handed, right? But they're Maxwell is still getting time behind the plate against righties because Stephen Vogt is so bad. So the fact that this is happening shows me that they're not – they're definitely – they don't care if they're righty or lefty. They're going to put – behind the plate, who's going to keep – I mean, who's going to hit? So they have three catchers. Stephen Vogt is not hitting at all. And Josh Fegley either came back from the DL last night or he's coming back very soon. I say if you don't have a spot for him on your bench, you got to – you might have to drop him, which, oh, I hate saying. But that's my advice, and that's what I would do.
Well, that makes sense. There's a couple things, though, about Stephen Vogt. First of all, he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. He doesn't have a contract.
Well, it's obviously not helping him get his shit together.
Well, no, he doesn't need to, because here's why. He plays for the Oakland A's, and they don't usually let guys go without getting compensation for them.
Oh.
They're going to move him at some
point.
They're going
to try to move him.
No, they will move him. They'll get somebody for him. The ticket is this. Hang on. I would not get rid of Stephen Vogt. He's probably on your waiver.
But you think that he's going to hit better after he gets traded? Is that what you think?
Yeah, because he's going to be on a. He's going to get traded to a better team. You'll see.
That doesn't happen.
The guy's a legitimate hitter.
Okay, that's fine. He's either nursing an injury, and he's never really been. How good is he? I don't agree that he's going to hit any better when he gets on a new team. You might see a little uptick, but when your batting average is .077, okay, in the last 7 days and .161 in the last 2 weeks, you're just not making contact and you're just not hitting the ball at all. So it really doesn't matter if you have a shitty team around you because you're not hitting.
Okay. But here's the thing, though. We believe in sample sizes, right?
Yes.
Okay. The past two seasons, his slug. We'll just use his slugging for an example.
Yeah.
Was .431 in 2014. It was .443 in 2015. It was .406 in 2016. That was his second full year in the big leagues. This year, it is currently at .318. Now, I would say that sample size is pretty indicative that he is going to hit. Maybe something's not right there. Maybe he isn't happy. Maybe he realizes that he's getting traded and he doesn't like it. Who knows? But this is not a mechanics thing. This is a personal thing. He's going to start hitting again. Plus, nobody likes to be platooned. Here's the thing. When Yonder Alonso showed up last year on the scene, Vogt used to play a little bit of first, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was eligible.
And now he doesn't do that. You know why? Because they've got somebody there. So now he's really splitting his time. And that ain't cool. He's only played in 27 games this season. I don't know how many the A's have played, but I think they've played about 40. So he's missed some time. He doesn't have his consistency going. He's not hitting against everybody. He's played 137 games in 2016 and 136 in 2015.
Right.
He's not going to play that many for the A's.
No, he's not. And even if he does, he's still never had a good – he's never gotten on base that good because he usually hits the ball into the air. So he's like an Adam Dunn. He hits for power mm-hmm. sometimes, but he doesn't even really hit for that much power. He's never eclipsed 20 home runs in a season, even though he's had 500 at-bats for two seasons in a row. He's never really been as good as we think. I mean, as when you're looking at your draft and you see that a guy is eligible at first and catcher, and you think, well, if he plays at first base and I can slot him in at catcher, that's good because that means that he's going to get a full season of at-bats. Usually catchers don't ever get a full season of at-bats. So the eligibility – that helped out. But I mean, the guy has never really had that good of a batting eye, and he's just not that good of a hitter.
Okay, then you win.
No, you win. We both win.
Cut
these are
bait.
Just a, these are just a
here's,
opinions.
Here's what I say about Stephen Vogt.
Yeah.
I like Stephen Vogt a lot.
Why?
Because he's won me money,
you see.
And the thing is Stephen Vogt is very cheap, and that's a good thing for me.
Okay.
But here's the thing though. If you're playing in a league, if you have a two catcher team and your league is two catchers, then you know what? You almost have to keep him, because there's not that many of them.
I don't really agree that you have to keep him.
Okay. You don't have
but,
to keep him?
I mean, no, I don't think you do. The guy's got 5 RBIs on the season. He's had 89 plate appearances, 5 RBIs, 5 runs. I mean, he's batting 200. I don't think that – I mean, there's catchers out there that – in my opinion, in season long, I'd rather have a catcher that isn't even going up to bat than somebody like this that's crushing my on-base percentage. He's crushing my average, and he's just wrecking everything for me. I'd rather have a dude that plays like once a week, you know, that has a decent batting average.
Okay, that's fair. I would think, though, this is my thing. If you're in two league, if you have a two-catcher league, I would almost think you have to play him. But if you're not, then you have to get rid of him. Cut bait.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I should say.
Yeah.
Does that make more sense?
Totally.
Okay, cool.
And
all
I
right,
always
so now,
forget that I'm talking to somebody that plays DFS because the world are totally – I mean, with Vogt, it's totally different in DFS. If you see that he's going up against a pitcher that you're sure – I mean, that he's just got figured out.
Like last night, and he laid another 0-for. That really pissed me off, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. But he's so cheap, you know.
It is what it is.
Go find Alex Avila. He's, you know, go find him. He's.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Alex Avila is stroking the ball. He's really happy to be back in Tigerland because his dad's the GM and he likes Justin Verlander, and Justin Verlander likes him.
I never even put that together that his dad is Avila, dude. I never even thought of it, and now I do. No.
See, there you go. You see, you learn something new every day from a DFS guy.
Totally.
But at the end of the day, Brandon Phillips. Would you fish your cut bait with Brandon Phillips?
What does fish mean?
Fish means that you go fishing and you're going to keep him, or cut bait means you're going to take cut the bait off and let it go.
I'm going to keep him. I think that he's had a problem with his groin, and but he's had an excellent season. And there is one thing that I don't that is looming around for him, which is
you never heard of fish and cut bait.
Well, I mean, like, does fishing mean go get him because you're fishing?
Fish, you bring him in. Cut bait, you means you cut the bait and let it go because you can't afford to lose to break the rod.
Ozzie Albies is the minor league prospect that is one of the top prospects for the Braves. And as they're rebuilding, they needed to get Brandon Phillips to fill in for, what's his name, Rodriguez. Sean Rodriguez got into a car accident. He's been doing very well, but everybody questioned going into the season whether or not he was going to lose his job to Ozzie Albies. The thing is that as long as he's hitting and that he has been hitting this season, I mean, you have to be pleasantly surprised if you own Brandon Phillips so far. He's pretty much already paid for whatever it costs to get him. I mean, he's got 5 stolen bases. He's got, you know, a couple of home runs. He's batting .292 on the season. He's got a groin injury, so he's missed a few days, and he hasn't been hitting that good this past couple weeks or this past week, you know, maybe 2 weeks. But overall, he's still hitting .296, and I definitely say hold on to him.
Okay, that's fair enough. He hasn't really done much.
About Ozzie Albies, one thing. It was in the media the other day or a couple weeks ago that, you know, Ozzie Albies is going to be coming up when he's ready. Nobody's stopping him. Nobody's blocking him. So Brandon Phillips is going to lose his job as soon as Ozzie Albies is ready. But that's really not what the manager said. It kind of got twisted around in the media. It's really what the manager said is that nobody's going to hold him back. When he's ready, we will bring him up. But they did not allude in any way that they're going to give Brandon, you know, that they're going to fire Brandon Phillips just to put Ozzie Albies in there. I mean, they're not going to fire anybody that's getting hits. I mean, that's just a known fact. So Brandon Phillips has spent some days out with his groin. He refuses to go on the DL. He said he's going to figure out a way around it. He doesn't want to go on the DL. Okay, more power to him. He's going to miss some games with this groin. But they did, or, you know, he missed a couple games. He's back in the lineup. I just think you ought to be patient, at least until he starts hitting again. As soon as he's been hitting for a week or two, sell him if you're concerned about how he's going to do in the future or if he's going to lose his job. But just for now, you got to hold on to him. He hasn't hit jack in the last couple weeks.
Nope, he sure hasn't. I don't know what to do with him. I don't pay that much attention to him. He's one of those guys that, you know, I usually fill out my lineup, and then the catcher, I just shove in with the least amount of money. And Brandon Phillips is in that category for me. I could, you know, he's owned in less than 50% of ESPN leagues. There's probably a reason for that.
Okay, we got to hurry. We only have a couple more players. And we're running out of time all the time.
We're not running out of time. We control the time.
Well, you always like to say, okay, we're done, bye. And then I'm like, hold on a minute.
Well, sometimes we are because we got through. But Andrelton Simmons.
What do you
Do you fish or cut bait? I still can't believe you didn't know what that
Well,
meant.
I don't even know why a lot of people own this guy. He's really not ownable in anything less than a 15-team league. I mean, if you're in a 15-team league or more, whatever, then yeah, he's ownable. He's ownable in only formats, AL only. But, I mean, going into the season, I don't know why anybody really drafted him. If you picked him up, you got what you paid for, and now it's time to drop him. He's just not that good of a player. He isn't really even worth having on your thing.
There you go. I like that. You know what? And if in DFS you play him against teams like, say, a Tommy Malone or somebody like that.
Don't bother.
And he'll
yeah,
get you two,
I mean,
and he'll get you two home runs and he wins you a GPP. That's kind of how that works.
Yeah, I mean, DFS, the optimizers that are out there, you know, there's...
They always put him in there because, you know why?
He's cheap.
Because you... Yeah, and you can fit like 100 other bats in there. It's pretty cool. But see, I'm curious, what is... Andrelton Simmons is owned in 17.7% of ESPN leagues.
He can't hit lefties. We know that.
No, but he got two hits last night against the Tigers.
Probably a righty.
More than likely. Well, no, it was. Who was it yesterday?
I have no idea.
It was Chris Fulmer pitched 2 days
Michael.
Ago.
Michael.
He pitched really good.
Yeah, he's
way.
Very good. Let's see who would be next in line for the Tigers.
It would be was it? It wasn't Boyd, was it?
Yeah, maybe. Wait, let me see. It would be Jordan Zimmerman. Jordan Zimmerman.
Oh, Jordan Zimmerman is a tomato can. You know something? Forget about it. Here's the key to this whole thing. Dump his ass if you have him.
Yeah, you shouldn't even own him, dude. He's not.
You can't trade him. I mean,
no.
Unless you have a girl in your league, try pushing her off on her.
Josh Bell is another guy that can't hit lefties. We got a whole list of can't hit lefties guys, okay?
Yeah, Josh Bell's on this list, yeah. Well, maybe they're on there for a reason.
Josh Bell, what do you say about him? He's a prospect that was supposed to be really
good.
What
do I say about Josh Bell?
It took him like 5 or 6 years to get through the minors. I mean, he finally made his debut last season, and he did okay. He hit 270, but...
Yeah, but that whole Pittsburgh Pirates team is disappointing, really.
It just seems like...
It ain't just him.
No, it's not just him. But I don't know if he's ownable. I just don't... I don't think that he's worth keeping on your bench because if... Unless you're in a deep, deep league or you're in an NL only, it's just... because I think that he's... Even with what he's doing right now, which is the past couple weeks, he's been... He must be bad the last couple weeks, right? I mean, because you wouldn't have put him on this list otherwise...
No, I usually do that, don't I? There's a pattern to what I do to make it easier for
us. Right. Well,
I'm not a baseball guy, so I have to keep it easy for myself. But these are the type I find these things that I see people asking these questions on Facebook all the time.
Okay.
So, Josh Bell.
How come nobody sends us questions? You should send us questions, people, because we'll answer them.
Okay, where do you want them to send them to?
Oh, they could send it to. They could send it on.
You better send it to me,
yeah.
Phil, at philnasonshow.com, because Miss Lamont doesn't read her emails.
I do look
all the
at
time.
Twitter, though. You could tweet to Roto Lady. You could tweet at Roto
Lady. Yeah, she doesn't retweet her tweets, but she does answer them.
Right? I will look at them, definitely answer your questions. I love it.
Yeah.
I hope people do ask questions because I need some mental love.
What where do you think I get these from? They don't have to ask me directly. I get them off Facebook. People are always asking stuff. They ask me all the time. I don't have time to answer their questions. I save it for the show. I'm busy all day.
Damn.
Like you are. Anyway, listen, Josh Bell.
I pretend I'm busy.
Josh Bell has a 209 ISO this season, dude. I think you better rethink that.
He's still hitting, like, he started the season hitting, or ended last season hitting above his power expectations. So, I mean, even what he's doing now or what he did at the beginning of the season is just too high to expect it to happen all the time.
In 2016, he had an ISO of 133. That's lower
That's
than
horrible.
It's ever been in any position since Double A.
Yeah,
See,
he only hit three homers, and he hits home. Here's the thing: he was expected to hit some home runs because he hit home runs in the minor leagues. But that, to me, means nothing. When you get to the majors, you're facing a whole different cat.
You know what his BABIP is? It's hilariously low. It's .256.
Well, that's not.
I would say the young fella's getting a little bit unlucky.
A little bit, but not horribly.
256 is really low. I think the league average is what 300.
It's 300, but 250 is not that low.
It's pretty low. Last year it was 294, so it's lower than it was last year. And he struggled, as Andrea said. So I fish with Josh Bell.
I better look at his numbers here because I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, maybe that'll help because if you look at the numbers a little
Right. Well,
bit.
here's what I know. I know that he's.
You lost money with him in a lineup,
No,
didn't
I
you?
didn't actually. I've never owned Josh Bell. I've never owned him.
Oh
I
man, me
know that he's
neither.
hitting crappy. In the last 7 games, he's hitting 143 with 182 on base percentage. And to me, that's the most important thing. I also know he can't hit lefties, but I do have his numbers pulled up now. His hit
Okay.
256 batting average on balls in play. Okay, let's say it averaged out to 300, which is what it normally is and what the baseball average is. Let's say it averaged out at 250, or I mean 300. From 250 to 300, then what? How many more? What, you know, how much is it going to actually help his numbers? He's not going to hit that many more home runs because of it. His average is going to go up from 230 to maybe 250, but it's still not enough to even think that he's worth keeping.
Okay. You say he can't hit lefties?
He's hitting 188 against lefties.
Okay, 'cause here's the thing. In 2017 at home, he's tearing lefties apart. He has a 463 wOBA and a 189 weighted runs created plus. Where he's on the road is where he gets himself into trouble. Didn't Pittsburgh play the Dodgers once this
Wait a
year?
minute. It says versus lefties. He's had 32 at bats against lefties.
Okay, but I'm looking at the platoon splits, home and
Yeah, but that
away.
doesn't mean lefties. That just means he's at home and away.
Away versus lefties, home versus
No.
lefties. I'm standing around, I'm staring right at
Okay,
it.
fine. At home he's batting 267 and away he's batting 215. So
Okay, but his wOBA is a lot bigger. I'm just saying that he hits. His OPS is 1.108 at home against the left-handed pitcher.
how many at bats is that?
Let's see, home. Home up the top. Home at bats, home lefty, 16.
Okay, well, yeah, so he's had 32 total at bats against lefties, and he's.
And he's had 36. Yeah, and he's had 16. There's a little. No, he's actually had a few more. I'm looking at plate appearances, but okay, whatever. The whole thing is this.
He can't hit lefties.
If. Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Here's the thing. These young guys, until they get really used to the majors.
Yeah.
They don't travel well. Basketball players are the same way. You know, a star can play home and away the same pretty much, unless you play for the Boston Celtics or something, or Washington Wizards. But a guy like, say, a role player like a 6'9", 6'10" guy off the bench, they always play better. They usually play better, I should say, at home because they're just not used to the travel and all these things that they have to go through. I mean, they travel first class, but still. It's better to, it's called home cooking. There's a reason that there's a home field advantage. So here's what you do with Josh Bell. This is my opinion
Yeah.
anyway. You put him, you keep him, and when he's at home against a lefty, play his ass because
Oh,
he's good.
please, dude. He's not even going to get to hit against lefties if he continues to bat overall 188. But here's another
But
thing.
I think his manager, Clint Hurdle, would see that his 463 wOBA and 189 weighted runs created plus is pretty good.
Well, don't think. Look, David Freese came off the DL last night. Okay. David Freese was
All right,
activated
man. He did.
and David Freese, obviously he plays third base right now. Jung Ho Kong is probably never going to come back cuz he's stuck in damn Korea or whatever. But
Well, he shouldn't drink and
so
drive.
with David Freese over at third base, no, not like 5 times and get caught 5 times. Imagine how many times he actually did it and didn't get caught. But okay, that's
Well, that's what I
besides the
mean.
point.
I'm thankful that no one was killed by him, or he didn't kill himself. Anyway, go ahead.
John Jaso, remember him for DFS? He's a great DFS guy, John Jaso.
Yeah.
Well, he was last year, so
The whole Pirates team
it's
is
sucking.
really rubbish,
They're
dude.
sucking right now.
They're, you know what? They, like last night, I had Patrick Corbin last night, and he got the win. He didn't get a lot of strikeouts. That's the thing. The Pirates, they don't seem to strike out a lot against lefties, and they used to mash them. There was a time when they could do that and get away with it. I think a lot of it has to do with Starling Marte not being in the lineup because these pitchers can now tiptoe around the plate. Whereas before they had to pitch to somebody.
Last night,
And
Tyler Glasnow, dude. Wait. So you had Patrick Corbin. This must have Tyler
I had
Glasnow.
Patrick
He
Corbin.
must have pitched the night before.
Patrick Corbin pitches for the
Oh,
Diamondbacks. He pitched against the
oh my
Pirates.
God! The Pirates had horrible. They were horrible. Tyler Glasnow is horrible. I really liked this guy going into the season. He lasted 2 1/3 innings. So you must have just. I mean, Patrick Corbin didn't even have to do anything to win the game last night.
Well, yeah, but he didn't do anything to help win money either.
Well, he did.
I
Yeah,
mean,
he didn't have to. They scored like 7 runs in the
because,
third inning off Tyler Glasnow.
yeah, but it was a lefty, at home, and that's another reason why some of these guys' numbers are a little deflated. Anyhow, so what do you do with Josh Bell? What are you going to do? I already say I keep him.
I drop him, dude. I definitely drop him
Okay.
unless I'm in a dynasty league, and then I might hold on to him because the truth be told, he's only had like 200, less than 300 at bats in the major leagues, and you can't really make a good sample size out of that many at bats. You gotta, I mean, in the minor leagues, he was never that great at home runs. He never even eclipsed 20 home runs in the minors. So in 5 years in the minors, he never was that crazy of a home run hitter anyway. He doesn't steal bases. But the point is that there's not enough at bats of a sample size to make a decision in the long term for Josh Bell. For now, if you're in a redraft league, you got to get, in my opinion, he wouldn't even be owned by me.
Okay. Well, I would keep him because he's going to mash lefty. And he's going to mash them on the
They
road, too.
don't hit, he doesn't hit lefties.
He kills them at home.
He's had 16 at bats against lefties at home, dude.
But I don't care. I think he's good still.
Okay.
He's still a young
All
guy,
right.
too. So we can agree to disagree.
Perfect.
But I would keep him.
Okay.
Because I
Mikel
like
Franco,
playing him.
another. I want to get Mikel Franco in before we go, at least.
Well, I wanted to get Steve Pearce in there too, but we'll go with
Let's do both.
okay.
Let's just do both. Go ahead. Tell me what
All
you think of
right.
Steve Pearce.
I think Steve Pearce is a hero of mine. I think whoever didn't fill out that one thing at DraftKings, I was in this league, can kick rocks, because I had Steve Pearce. I had such a beautiful double stack, and they all connected at the same time. It was one of those beautiful things. And Steve Pearce is another one of those guys who will either break your heart or make you fall in
A
love.
Toronto guy again, you know?
Another Blue Jay guy, but here's the thing. Those Blue Jays, you pay attention to this. Those Blue Jays are awfully good. And when they get hot, they're going to be something else. When Josh Donaldson comes back, there's not going to be too many people that can pitch around. Ryan Goins is not going to be in that lineup for much longer. And thank goodness for that.
The one thing.
I like Steve Pearce. I keep Steve Pearce. What do you do with
Well,
Steve
I'd probably
Pearce?
keep him too because he's not going to lose his job anytime soon. They don't really have anybody in left field right now. And he even plays first base. But Justin Smoke is a guy that's on fire. I mean, Justin Smoke is actually, he's hitting.
I had Justin Smoke in that thing too. I'm telling you, I was really miffed because no, I mean,
If
anyway,
Steve Pearce could
don't.
stay healthy for one full season, this guy, we're talking 30 homers, dude. If he could stay healthy,
If
but he can't.
ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas
He
or a Happy
he's
Hanukkah.
34. He's never had a healthy season. He's 34.
Never.
Okay, but I can
Never.
see why somebody would like him for DFS, and I can also see why somebody would continue to own him in season long because when he
Of
does hit, he
course.
has power. Other than that,
Oh,
he's
yes.
useless.
Yeah, but he can mash right-handers
He
and
strikes out
lefties.
30% of the time almost. I mean, that's more than he's ever
Yeah.
struck out, but
You know what? He's a more versatile version of Chris Davis, but not as healthy.
yeah. Well,
Because Pierce can hit lefties and righties,
no,
though.
he can't hit either. That's the problem.
Steve
He hits
Pierce?
both equally as bad. Last year, he did hit them both very fair. I mean, good, above average. This year, he's not hitting either one very good at all. But maybe he's just in a slump. I mean, he had. I wonder if last season was the outlier though, because last season he hit 317 against lefties and 275 against righties. But the year before
Maybe.
that, he hit 231 against righties and 196 against lefties. So which is the outlier here? It's looking to me like the last year might have been the outlier, which is unfortunate because. Maybe, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. The one thing about Toronto that I've noticed is that that manager up there and that team and that owner, they have a grip it and rip it mentality.
Yeah.
They either go big or go home. That's what Edwin Encarnacion is the same
Yeah.
way. And that's what's and he's really ticking off Indians fans. They go, "What do we spend all this money for?" And I tell them, because he's going to hit about 14 home runs in 1 month, and you're going to be just thrilled.
Yeah, so Steve Pearce, if you don't mind, you know,
Okay.
bad batting average for now, he actually, you know, depending on whatever. But let's do Mikel Franco real quick. Mikel Franco,
Okay.
he has only seen 39.4% pitches in the strike zone, and he's also has that's the lowest on the Phillies, right? So he gets the least number of pitches in the zone on the Phillies, and he also has the lowest percentage of fastballs. He doesn't get any fastballs.
Right.
This is because pitchers have figured out the fact that Mikel Franco can't hit any kind of off-speed pitch. So they're throwing at him, and this has been well known since last season. I mean, going into the season, it was like the one thing that he really needed to work on was to learn how to hit off-speed pitches. And if he doesn't learn how to work on it, pitchers are going to throw him off-speed pitches. I mean, come on, it makes sense, right?
I think it makes perfectly good sense.
So, Mikel Franco, yeah, until he can start hitting any off-speed pitches, I mean, it's going to get to the point where pitchers aren't even throwing fastballs at him, or they're not throwing fastballs and they're not throwing strikes at all, because they know that he's, I mean, they're going to have to throw strikes or he might figure out that he could just walk, but they're going to continue to throw off-speed pitches at him. And that's really, for a batter to not be able to see off-speed pitchers, he either needs glasses or, you know, I don't even know if that's fixable, right? So if he has perfect eyesight and he can't see the ball changing, you know, as it drops, you know, or as it comes up in the zone, if he can only see fastballs that don't have any movement, that's no good. He's not going to be able to maintain a career in the majors.
50% hard ball contact rate against lefties.
What does that mean?
30.4% against hard contact rate against righties. It means he tees off on lefties. He sees the ball much better there.
He must. Well, what's it?
I don't know. I think I don't worry about Mikel Franco. Like I said, I don't pay attention that much to the Phillies unless they're playing somebody.
I love the Phillies. How can you not like the Phillies? I mean, for hitting.
Because I'm a Mets fan. But in general, you know, they never really go on my radar that much.
Tommy Joseph is getting – he was horrible to start the season. I benched him, and now I'm ready to put him back because he's
– I used Joseph the other day. He got a home run, I think.
Yeah.
But you know something? The Phillies, it's just they're one of those teams. You know, here's the thing, though. Maybe this part is the other thing people don't understand about DFS. There's 30 freaking games or 30 teams every night. For at least three nights a week, you have 15-game slates.
Yeah.
That's you have 30 teams to choose from. You know, you're only one human being. Now, I use a pencil and paper. I don't use algorithms or spreadsheets or any of that sugar. I just do it the old-fashioned way. Maybe I'm stupid for this. Maybe I'm not. But the point is I just don't see them in games where there's opportunities, it seems, percentage-wise, that they score a lot of runs.
Well,
they do score, but then again, I have to play the numbers. I can't play my whims. To me, Philadelphia is a whim.
Yeah, well, their pitching isn't really doing as well as we thought, but I do think that they have a lot of talent in their lineup.
That I didn't say. I did not say they didn't. I'm just saying that they never are on my radar.
Got it.
If that makes sense. But you know what's on my radar? Calling this show a day.
Okay.
Okay.
That was fun.
It's always
I did a
fun,
podcast
dude.
Yesterday on LennyMelnickFantasySports.com.
You did.
I did all the box scores. Didn't have any good rants, but that's okay. A lot of people, I don't know if people like the rants or not, but whatever it is. And then tomorrow I'm going to be guest hosting on MajorLeagueFantasySports.com. I'll be doing their Major League Fantasy Sports podcast. Their baseball podcast.
See, there you
two
go.
Hours, 7 to 9, Blog Talk Radio.
And me, I'm going to work on my Twitter followers.
Do it.
For Andrew Lamont. I'm Phil Nason. We want to thank you for listening.
Nothing but fantasy.
We're off.